Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Fuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment, probably playing board games. Running the boards is Joey Dees.
Now with slightly less salt.
Slightly less salt because we're not going to be talking about the Foundation today.
That's right.
But we will be talking about a new Walking Dead series, a new How to Train Your Dragon series.
Cool.
Why Netflix canceled one of my favorite shows, the Santa Clarita Diet.
There's the salt.
Yeah. Oh. There'll be plenty of salt over there with that one. And maybe that more, but of course the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More.
Or just search BJ Shades Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Yeah, so many ways to get a hold of us. Leave us those, sometimes they have stars, sometimes they have, fireworks. Or leave us a review, give us
hearts.
Yeah, give us the five hearts. Like, give us five horseshoes,
the clovers,
the balloons, any of the other Lucky Charms marshmallows.
The
if you
toy monies.
Those. Oh, yeah, exactly. those little coins that take off the wrapper and they're chocolate. Those are good.
Random thing that I want you guys to message in about. When you guys play a board game, doesn't matter what type of currency it is, whether it's food or coin or some paper money or whatever. It could even be like vials of potions.
Uh-huh.
Do you just call it monies?
Not even monies.
Like, hey, that is three monies.
Will you trade your three monies for my three monies? Which three monies? My three sheep monies for your three wood monies?
Usually there is like a currency. Like, you have multiple things, but then you have a currency.
All right.
Does anybody else do that? Or is it just
monies.
Me and some of the people I've played with?
I think it's just you and your gaming group there.
Okay. On occasion.
On occasion. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
But it would be kind of fun too. Throw it out there. Maybe some of those weird rituals that your gaming group has.
Or like terms and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we had one for a while when I still lived in Seattle with my old roommates. Tuna boat!
Tuna boat?
Because there is a game where we all try to, is it Machikuro, where we all try to get the tuna boat. We got him, and then the two other guys, like it was the two girls got him, the two boys came in and stole our tuna boat. So we
stole
were,
your tuna boat?
So the entire time, myself and my friend Melissa, tuna boat, the boys steal it, then that's all they could just kept hollering, tuna boat!
Tuna boat!
So I want to hear about those. Anyways, moving on.
Wow. Yes. Tell us that. You can get us an email. What was our email?
Or you know what? Just Facebook.
BJGeekNation@gmail.com. Yeah, but send us like post them or send us messages on those sort of things. It's hella easier.
Yep.
Now, talking about the stuff that we said we were going to talk about, AMC has officially greenlit the episodic anthology series Tales of the Walking Dead. Because if you're not tired of the Walking Dead universe, there is so many more things out there for you. Unfortunately, I am a bit tired of this. I never thought I really would be, but after like 11, 12 years of it going on, I'm good. So I don't know necessarily if I'm going to be watching this, but each one-hour episode will be set within the world of The Walking Dead and will feature both new and existing characters. So this might get you for continuing to go on with that. Channing Powell, who has worked as a writer and producer on both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, serves as showrunner, and Powell will work alongside Scott M. Gimple, the chief content officer of The Walking Dead universe. This looks to be happening out debut on AMC and AMC Plus in the summer of 2022. And if you don't know, The Walking Dead is a show that made television history and attracted an army of passionate and highly engaged fans, says Dan McDermott, president of the original programming at AMC. We see so much potential for a wide range of rich and compelling storytelling in the world, and the episode anthology format of Tales of the Walking Dead will give us some flexibility to entertain existing fans and also offer an entry point for new viewers, which is a really good point. When you see something that is 11 seasons long, it's daunting.
Yeah.
And there are, I don't know how long the first couple of seasons are, but they've kind of settled into that 8 and 8 season, but that's still 16 episodes a season to get through. And it can get a little redundant by, you know, going from one place, dealing with the enemies, going to another place, dealing with the enemies. So it can be a bit much for people.
I feel like right now we are now at the age of anthologies.
Yes.
We are getting a lot of them, whether it's like the What If situation or even Star Wars Visions, I believe that's what it's called,
yeah,
on Disney Plus.
Exactly.
I feel like this is going to be the new wave of exploring a universe without having to be committed to it.
Oh, yeah. And it would be interesting because they say that it's going to be new and old characters. So I would like to kind of see maybe some of the other aspects of, yeah, we've followed Rick's group through the entire thing. But what if we had something side by side in terms of almost like just like, oh, this is happening at the same time, or these are the other side people dealing with what they're having to deal with. Or you just see maybe the group of people going across the ways and you see another person who's like, I'm going to stay away from those murderers.
This reminds me of the Jeremy Renner Bourne movie. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Where it was literally what was happening in the Bourne. I don't remember which one of the Bourne movies with Matt Damon. And this is happening side by side at the exact same time. And they're referencing what Matt Damon's doing.
And in an interview with Variety in 2020, the AMC COO, Ed Carroll, said that Tales would serve as a test kitchen of sorts, meaning that if a particular episode was well received, it could lead to another spinoff. Now, at this point in time, we've got The Walking Dead, but AMC also has Fear the Walking Dead, which we mentioned, and also The Walking Dead World Beyond, which was, I don't want to call it zombie babies, but it was a younger group of kids who basically that's all they've known is this sort of world. So, or at least teenager sort of age. So dealing with this.
Their entire lives.
Yeah, most of their lives at the very least. So it's another one. Like you said, a lot of anthology series, or at least things that come off as being anthology series. What If was a bit of a kind of a twist on the end of that when it came down to it. But they seem to be very popular now in this.
If you guys are looking for like an anthology series, by the way, in comic book form, that kind of falls into that same pattern where things start to tie together eventually. Twisted Dark. I love my bro.
Nice.
Neil Gibson. Like, seriously, like, I've been especially during the spooky season, because Twisted Dark has that
total
darkness.
Spooky vibe.
Yeah, there's some spookiness, or at least stuff that, like, makes your heart just go, oh. So definitely, if you're looking for a new comic series to read, check it out. And if you love anthologies.
Speaking of spinoff series and along those lines, How to Train Your Dragon is getting a spinoff series, and it will come to Hulu and Peacock. Very interesting on that. But it seems that DreamWorks Animation has officially announced that Dragons, The Nine Realms, a new How to Train Your Dragon spinoff series, will be on both Hulu and Peacock this December. So they're actually getting it out pretty quickly. And you've seen the How to Train Your Dragons, right?
Yes, I feel like I've seen every single one of them. It's been a while, so now I'm getting them all confused. But I remember at the very end, spoiler alert, if anybody cares, at the end, because How to Train a Dragon, the first one, it's a young kid named Hiccup, and Vikings have horrible names, so their enemies would be afraid of them or whatever, or spirits or whatever, something like that.
Hiccup is not scary.
No. Or just ugly names, basically.
Oh, okay.
He finds this dragon. They're living in a Viking community that fear and hate dragons, and they kill dragons because they always are at war with each other, basically. And he learns, like, he befriends a dragon because he's an awful Viking. He can't kill dragons. He just doesn't have the heart for it. He ends up befriending a dragon named Toothless because his teeth retract. And at the very end, they become part of the community. They all love each other. They work. They're kind of like pets, but they work together.
Yeah, yeah.
But the very last movie, because a lot of other adventures ensue, different people, whatever. At the very end, they decide, you know what? We cannot hold you guys anymore. Like, captive, you should be free to live your lives. We won't fight you anymore, but you need to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a really sweet ending where like Hiccup and it like finally marries his girl Astrid. And they get older and they have kids, and they run into his old dragon, Toothless. And it's just like this really sweet scene.
Aww.
So I'm like, is it going to, like, I'm curious to see how they're going to go about it. Also, the thing I've noticed, and we remember kids of the 90s, you know, when you get your first, like, your Aladdin movie, and then you get Aladdin, Return of Jafar, you get that really ugly quality of movie, they're straight to VHS.
Yeah, this, like, literally straight to VHS, yeah, like, where they can't get the big names for the voices, and they're
like,
kind
the
of...
And, like, the art quality is just awful.
Yeah.
In comparison. It wasn't bad for the 90s, but it was like, but you just showed me this beautiful movie, now you're giving me this, so I'm curious to see what the quality of animation, it's how it's going to be.
Well, and this is interesting because the take they're doing on this, they are not doing anything in the past. Actually, this is set 1,300 years after the events of How to Train Your Dragon. And Dragons, the Nine Realms takes place in a modern world where dragons are now nothing more than legend. But when a geological anomaly opens up, an intense miles deep fissure in Earth's surface, scientists from all over the world gather at a new research facility to study the mysterious phenomenon. Soon a group of misfit kids, brought to the site by their parents uncover the truth about dragons and where they've been hiding, a secret they must keep to themselves to protect what they've discovered. And that, I mean, it's the same thing as like any sort of like ET type thing. It's like where the kids discover something and realize that adults are terrible and they will probably ruin whatever this fun thing is. So you got to keep the dragon's secret at this point in time.
And like there's like a still shot image, and it's a very similar shot like between a kid and a dragon. Like he's about to touch his nose, very much like the first movie, the very popular image of Hiccup touching Toothless for the first time and Toothless letting him.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is cute.
Dragons of the Nine Realms stars voice actor Jeremy Shada, who is known for his role as Finn the Human on Adventure Time.
Oh, okay.
So it'll have a very familiar voice with that. And it does come out December 23rd on Hulu and Peacock. So if you you got some kiddos or you yourself are on a little bit of a winter break, there's something that you can end up watching on that. And yeah, and it is based on the children's novel series of the same name by author Cressida Cowell.
Aww.
And the movie came out in 2010, like the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a little bit of a while, so it kind of makes sense on that. Mm-hmm. Very excited for that. And I mean, maybe I should see the movies too. But I always liked, looking at the movies.
They're cool movies. They have phenomenal voice actors. I believe like Craig Ferguson is in one of them.
You're right.
Who's the other one? I think that might have been his dad. I don't remember 100%. But you have America Ferrera, Jonah Hill, Kristen Wiig in the first one. I think there was also that guy in Deadpool who was in Silicon Valley that he got like. Crapped on the movies.
I know the one you're talking about.
Something. Anyways, a lot of those great voice actors.
TJ Miller?
That one.
There we go. I was like, I know what you're talking about.
And I can see his face.
And I can see his face. And he wears glasses and has curly hair. TJ Miller. Yes, it was him.
TJ Miller.
Seth Rogen. Wait.
No.
Yeah. And Jay Baruchel. I can never say his name right. Oh, it's Gerard Butler, who's his father. Craig Ferguson was Gobber, who is like his... We'll just call him his uncle.
Okay.
Like Christopher Mintz-Plasse was in it. Like, it's such a good movie. David Tennant.
Really?
Like, in the very first one. Like, and even as they continue, I believe it was Emma. Is that her name? Oh, God. Natty McPhee. Emma. An older woman. Like, not older, but you know what I mean.
I know. Now I got to look up Natty McPhee.
Thompson.
Emma Thompson.
Yes, Emma Thompson plays a big important character that I won't ruin later on. It's just so good.
So he means we should go watch it then.
All of them.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Moving on from that, I did say that it would be a little bit of salt going on with this, and this article really did make me kind of salty because one of my favorite shows, and it was critically and the viewers really loved it as well, but critically acclaimed Santa Clarita Diet. It had Drew Barrymore. More as a woman who turns into a zombie, Timothy Oliphant as her very enthusiastic and just like nice,
supportive.
Caring, supportive husband. And it was just great, but it was canceled after 3 seasons, even though it was fairly popular. Well, we found out why. It did, basically they're struggling to find a work-life balance when it comes down to Sheila's condition. And obviously the major side effect was the fact that she was craving human flesh, altered personality, kind of her whole id went in. And it was fun. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's not for children, but it was kind of a wholesome family show with eating people. Is that a good way to put that?
Okay.
It's a good Halloween fare if you're looking at it like that sort of thing. Well, the reason it did get canceled is attributed to Netflix and business. Their Netflix had a cost-plus budget model. So what they do is they pay for a show's production costs up front, in addition to a premium of 30% of the completed overall costs. And the numbers get bigger as each season goes by. So by the third season, the costs can be like in the millions of dollars for the studios, and as the studios begin to pay off the debt on the back end. It's a whole bunch of things, but basically they're paying forward and hoping that they'll get their money back in subscriptions and stuff like that. But once you get to like a third season, you're not necessarily going to be getting new viewers for it. You're just going to be getting the people that are out there. So it is more cost beneficial for them to release new shows. And this was exactly what it really was. They have to decide on how much to invest based on the audience that will show up. And if the audience doesn't show up, they have to start thinking about reasons to continue to invest in something. It just kind of ran out of steam, unfortunately, for the Santa Clarita Diet after the third season. Unfortunately, they did set up a whole entire cliffhanger for the... Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no spoilers that... I won't... Actually, I don't care. Like, you can watch it, you can still be entertained by it. But essentially, at the end, in order to save Timothy's character's life, he has to be turned into a zombie.
Oh,
so it would be exploring that if they were going to get into a season four. Of course, they didn't get to do that, and so unless it gets shopped around somewhere else, which the series creator Victor Fresco, he's been hopeful that maybe it would return, or maybe the fact that they could shop it somewhere else, and he's already kind of planning the story, and he did say that it would have to explain and explore the relationship between the Hammonds' daughter Abby and the neighbor Eric, because that was kind of a will they, won't they, Ross and Rachel sort of get up where. Yeah, they really cared for each other, but also they were like more just kind of friend zone sort of thing. But it did get a little bit deeper as you're going on, because once everyone finds out that you're trying to like hide a murderous zombie mother, it gets it gets a little complicated, as it would be. And they also wanted to examine Joel's new life as a zombie as it affects his relationship with Sheila, who is already a zombie.
Oh.
I want to see Timothy Oliphant murdering and killing and eating people. I just kind of think that would be kind of fun. So hopefully at some point in time, but if not, you can go back and revisit those because it's a very solid series. Like, it does come to a weird conclusion and kind of a cliffhanger, but all the storylines inside of it do get wrapped up, and that is really, that's very, very helpful when it comes down to all this stuff. Moving on from that, Joe, which do you prefer, Star Trek or Star Wars?
Ooh,
more.
Man.
Prefer more, because, I mean... They're both big high up on there.
How about this? It would have been Star Wars, but after those last three movies, I got to go Star Trek now.
Oh, yeah,
I got to do it.
Well, you know the Star Trek replicators. It's like kind of the basis of everything in terms of like if Jean-Luc Picard wants his tea, he gets it. Earl Grey, hot. And then boom, it happens.
It's bad because I've never actually, not as an adult, I remember watching it a lot as a kid, not understanding what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
But every time I'd see a meme that said that, I thought he was just like telling somebody to do it, like Wesley Crusher, like, hey,
Wesley,
go
get me some tea, Earl Grey, hot.
I always thought that's what he was doing.
Nope, it's the replicators. And it would just, it's that whole thing. It's like, how do people in space get anything? Poof, they just appear.
That makes sense considering Orville is like the love letter to Star Trek, and they have a similar thing too.
Exactly. Well, engineers from Columbia University have worked out a way to simultaneously 3D print and cook pureed chicken to kind of bring home the techno magic of Star Trek's food replicator.
What?
Pureed chicken?
Well, I mean, baby steps here.
Okay.
So I'm literally
like babysitting. Salad?
It was like baby food at this point in time. In a report from Wired, the team from Creative Machines Lab at Columbia is credited with taking an earlier idea of theirs, 3D printing edible objects with mediums like cheese and peanut butter, and applying lasers as a cooking element for more nutritious and flavorful foods. Jonathan Blutlinger, who co-authored the scientific paper outlining the experimentation, explained the motivation behind expanding on the idea. Cooking is essential for nutrition, flavor, and texture development in many foods, and we wondered if we could develop a method with lasers to precisely control these attributes. First off, laser-cooked food sounds cool. Like, just straightforward.
It does.
Yeah. It's like when microwaves were first introduced. You're like, you're cooking it with radiation? Kind of.
Sure.
Using raw chicken breasts that were pureed until they were given a uniform consistency, the scientists refrigerated the chicken mixture and then packed it into a 3D printing syringes built to avoid clogging. So you still need the food.
This sounds odd.
Then they assembled a cooking apparatus with high-powered blue diode lasers, a custom 3D printing fixture, and removable tray for cooking the chicken. So they're not bringing it out of nowhere or anything, but they're making it so they can just put it in these syringes, squirt it out there, and cook it.
So what you're saying is we're a long way away from a replicator.
Yeah, maybe. The team experimented with cooking the chicken both in sealed plastic packaging and out after adjusting the laser's placement so simultaneous printing and cooking could occur from the same machine. They ended up with surprisingly efficient results. The laser-cooked chicken retained more moisture and shrank less than conventionally cooked meat. Different lasers were even used to experiment with what sort of results they could provide, and a paid off for the team because infrared lasers worked the best for surface browning, and a blue laser was better for cooking the chicken internally. And it's very important, Joe. You're a cook. You've done a lot of cooking.
Oh,
cooking
yeah.
chicken thoroughly is like the most important thing to do.
Always yeah. cook your meat. Check with the thermometer.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like chicken and ground beef, very much so, like mm-hmm. the most important.
Totally. Of course, they had to run taste tests to make sure, stacking samples of both conventionally cooked and 3D printed and cooked chicken against each other. A duo of taste testers preferred the latter, so they did like the 3D printed cooked chicken more.
Wow.
Yeah. They found it to be moister with a better texture than the oven-cooked variety, and that was even despite the industry odor one tester picked out in the laser-cooked food. Ever go to a dentist and get a filling done? They have a laser they use to seal the filling, and you get that smell.
No.
That,
deal breaker.
It would be a deal breaker for me, but I recently had Parmesan cheese on some pasta. Parmesan cheese smells like feet.
Yeah.
And yet I'm still way okay with eating it. So as long as it doesn't just give me that immediate reaction of being at the dentist's office when eating it, I might be okay with this.
I've had a cheesecake that tasted like mint toothpaste, and I got to tell you, it was I
just
can't.
Tapped out on that yeah. point. The net positive result was that this was all the proof the scientists needed to publish the paper. While only chicken was used, the researchers are confident that we'll work with other meats or even grains. So they're going to continue the experimentation, and maybe eventually we'll get ourselves one of those replicators. But I mean, like I said, baby steps. We'll get it figured out.
2050.
Hey, you know what? That's 30 years. I probably won't be alive then. So
well,
true.
Yeah, you will.
Okay, well.
Because by then we'll have self-replicating everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I'm just going to upload myself to another consciousness there.
Cyber Rev, man. I can be Cyber Joe. You can be Cyber Vicky. Vicky.
Well, yeah. Well, while we're waiting on how to figure out to get ourselves downloaded into a cyber body, it is now time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what is going on?
So, someone effed up.
Who?
Someone in Russia.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I know, it's a very weird way to start this off.
I am intrigued.
So, there has been a rumor floating around that has not been confirmed. We all feel it in, you know, our loins.
Whoa,
that this is true.
Our loins.
I don't know. I was going to say balls, but I felt like that wasn't right.
I think you meant bones? You feel it in your bones.
I was trying to also think what Pikachu said in Detective Pikachu. I feel it
loins?
In my... Is it giblets? No.
Giblets, maybe. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, what are you feeling over there?
So we feel like because we have seen all the different villains that are going to be in Spider-Man No Way Home between Doc Ock, Green Goblin... Can we please get confirmation that Tobey Maguire and what's-his-face...
Andrew Garfield...
are going to be in it, because Andrew Garfield has been deny
yeah.
that he's not going to be in this movie.
So much.
Which, I mean, even if he's not lying, like, he would probably be in the next one, because this isn't the end, you would think. We would hope.
Yeah, right?
So apparently, if you go to the Russian Skittles website and follow the instructions, you will then see a billboard that has Garfield Spider-Man that plays a trailer saying, "There's no way home."
What?
So either someone messed up and put the wrong Spider-Man on this billboard, or they leaked information that wasn't supposed to be out. And it doesn't look like Andrew Garfield, but that is his suit, and that is a screenshot from his Spider-Man movie.
Wow.
We're getting played.
Like, I understand when, like, there are trailers that have like diversionary tactics in it, like they don't show the full picture, and we've seen that multiple times. Most recently, they've even said that the Scream trailer has a lot of deflection and distraction mm-hmm. in it as well.
And they have to do that now. It's annoying as a viewer to go into a theater expecting to see certain scenes or certain things and them not show up. But it's also how many people are out there, how many have cell phones, have cameras, and are trying to spoil everything.
And so it makes you wonder, and it's, you don't see his face. It's the Spider-Man suit that is from Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And so I could possibly see somebody screwing up.
Like grabbing a wrong clip from Google.
Yeah, but like a major company doing that.
But
like,
it's also in a different country.
But tied in with, like, it's got to be tied in with Disney, or else they wouldn't be able to do that.
They need to pay Disney a lot of money to use their images.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could see it being a lazy mistake, but that's not going to stop everybody from speculating.
Interestingly enough, Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man could be in the movie, just not Andrew Garfield. Like, if it was just CGI with him in a suit.
Oh, interesting. I don't think they would do that, but what if...
you would still need his voice, unless it's, like, I could see maybe at the end, like, you see all these, like, different bad guys coming in, like, hey, we're here, like, through a portal, like a Doctor Strange portal, for just as an example. And then at the very end, like, as things look bleak, two more Spider-Man come out of the portal.
But what if he's not lying, and it actually is that Spider-Man... But he's not in it because his voice is in it. He's like, guys, I'm not in it. He hasn't said my voice isn't in it. And maybe that he was just like, okay, guys, I'm like talking to the Disney executives. And he was like, people are gonna never like nonstop ask me about this. How do I answer it? Like, I feel everything needs to be so well crafted in this that they're not going to just release that sort of thing.
And I have to imagine it's cheaper to get an actor to do voice lines than it is to have them actually be on film.
Considering, I mean, he's not that he's old by any means, but he is older. He's busy. He has a lot of trailers and movies and stuff going on. So he's a busy man. Mm-hmm. Plus, most of the stuff. So Tom Holland, he's a youngin. He does a lot of the stunts himself, like the gymnastics and stuff. He does a lot of that. But Spider-Man is a mostly CGI character.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Garfield might be like, you know what?
I don't need to deal with that.
I got a lot of other stuff going on. I don't have time to get into shape for maybe a quick appearance or whatever it may be.
Well, he could be...
be CGI.
But he could be Peter Parker just like he was in Into the Spider-Verse with wearing sweatpants and just having a little bit of a gut there.
I mean...
Nothing wrong with that.
That could be it, too. So it's a little... I'm a little nervous because this came out a couple days ago. It says, Tom Holland describes No Way Home as the end of a franchise.
What?
Granted, he's known to not be able to keep secrets, but I'm also just going to assume because he can't keep secrets and he doesn't know how to phrase things to make sure things stay as a secret. I'm like, this could have just been worded wrong.
But or, yeah, hoping, right?
But this is kind of what he says about it. He says, we're treating No Way Home as the end of a franchise, let's say. I think if we were lucky enough to dive into these characters again, you'd be seeing a very different version. So that kind of tells you that this is... I feel like if they have any other version besides, like, after this movie, it would be years after, they'd be more grown up, I guess. Also, they were kids when they started this. Like, even if they were in their late teens, early 20s, they're still babies, so they're growing up. They're changing the way they look different.
Yeah, but does this mean, I mean, this is absolutely dealing with the multiverse.
Right, and it says, we would no longer be in the Homecoming trilogy. He did, one of the things he did leak years ago, which kind of gave him the reputation for being a spoiler or leaker, is that after, this was around when Captain America Civil War came out, like 2016, he let it slip that a trilogy was planned. So I think they already had these movies planned up to a certain point.
Which makes sense. I mean, Kevin Feige has been really controlling the whole MCU trajectory the entire time. So it makes sense in that sort of term. And it doesn't mean it's the end of Spider-Man.
No, or even his Spider-Man, but the Homecoming trilogy
would be
over.
And even just thinking about that, it's like we're bringing them all in, which also includes why we're getting all of these villains, because we're bringing all of the Spider-Verse into the MCU, including all of the baddies that we know and love or hate.
He said, we would give it some time and try to build something different and totally change the films. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But we are definitely treating No Way Home like it's coming to an end, and it felt like it.
Wow.
Oh, that's not good. Does that mean that Spider-Man is gone? Is he going to be lost into the multiverse?
I'm hoping not. But I'm just hoping that everything just comes back, and that's the whole thing. It's like, again, the trilogy just becomes, like, now part of the universe, but his story for his like
own Spider-Man.
Yeah, his own spider story is just going to be that.
Or solo story, because I feel like we're going to be seeing him in other movies. Like he's probably not done.
Spider-Man has been an Avenger in the past across different teams. And I mean, obviously, he's an Avenger now in terms of the MCU, but
there's
we need to see kind
of
where that goes. Exactly, they got to kind
of
reform those teams, whichever which way they're going to do it. If they're going to break them up into like West Coast, Great Lakes, East Coast.
What if he gets lost in this movie and comes back in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Whoa, that'd be kind of cool too.
See, you know the way I see it. So I feel like with obviously the Tobey Maguire, we saw him a little bit in high school. That's when he gets his powers and then graduates, goes to college, becomes an adult. And the next movie, he's an adult. And I feel like Andrew Garfield, he was in high school, but he felt older.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have that right age of a high schooler, and he tried to play it off, but that really wasn't the big problems with at least the second movie.
And all this whole time, Spider-Man has been in high school. So I feel like if he were to come back for more Spider-Man-centric movies, he would be now adult Spider-Man.
So yeah, this would be like, maybe this is the high school trilogy sort of thing like that, encompassing those high school years. And now if they move on from that, it'll be something more.
Yeah, more
which
college.
They should, yeah.
Probably introduce maybe a Gwen Stacy.
Or who maybe knows? Fantastic Four.
I mean, he was a part of the Fantastic Four for a minute.
He was as well, yes.
Yeah, in the comics. So who really knows? Who knows if he spilled something he wasn't supposed to? Who knows if he's just doing some misdirection?
He probably did.
But his journey, he did say, I am thrilled that Spidey's journey in the MCU will continue, so we can be okay with that. But will there be any more Spider-Man movies after this? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows at that point?
And then who knows with Venom? Are we going to mush them together?
We need Venom fighting Spider-Man. That's how this thing is supposed to work.
Or team up.
Right?
Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.